up for the rope, and it's like, okay, no rope, no bell. But it's like we don't know how to get started without a bell. When I was in seminary, when our professors wanted to quiet us down, they'd always say, "The Lord be with you." The Lord be with you. Good morning. It is good to see so many of you here this Sunday. Just a beautiful day. Hopefully none of you have been sitting around for an hour because you forgot to change your heads, or your heads, your clocks, and move them back an hour. I was thinking moving them ahead, but we're moving them back anyway. It is good to see you all here. This is a special day in the life of the church. We are celebrating All Saints Day this day, and it is the first Sunday of November. Hard to believe, but we'll be having communion as well. So it is a blessed day this day, especially a blessed day this day. We also welcome all those who will be worshiping with us through our CD ministry at home. And thanks to all of you that are sending them out and delivering them on your way home or out to eat. It is truly a ministry of the church and a gift of love and sharing with all. Just a reminder that today at 3 o'clock, I will be out at the Monroe County Care Home. As always, you're more than welcome to come out there for our service. I will be doing an All Saints service with them out there as well, and it always is a special day for them. This Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we will be having a session meeting, choir practice. Thursday at 7 o'clock, if you sing and the Spirit's moving in you, hopefully it is, you're getting a little itch and a scratch, that means you're supposed to be here. So come join us for choir. Well, Saturday, November 6th is past, so hopefully your clocks have been turned. Hard to believe, but in 2 weeks, the 21st, that will be Reign of Christ Sunday. We will have communion on that Sunday as well. It is the end of our liturgical calendar year. We will be staying for the hanging of the greens to adorn the church for Advent and coming Christmas Day. So be here on the 21st for the Reign of Christ and for the hanging of the greens, and we'll have some sort of food that day, subs or pizza or something. So come and eat and join us. There's one other thing I would like to pass out as well. I'm going to just hand these half and half, and if you can start moving them around. And these as well.
These as well.
These as well. Okay. Those as two. What I'm handing out is for a special offering. Karen Edwards has been here in the past, and she has preached here with us. And she is head of the Theological Education Fund. And I like the little booklet, you know, for the test. Nothing like really challenging us with our theological education. But the seminaries of the Presbyterian Church are giving us our future ministers. And some of them are doing well and holding on strong, and some of them are going through hard times, and we can understand that. As we sit in the pews, we are individually going through hard times, and it is tough sometimes for the church as well. But she has asked this of us. Our seminaries support us by offering support to our churches, our ministers, and lay pastors with continuing education. Your church session may have already support our seminaries through the Theological Education Fund by giving 1% of your operating budget. However, as your TEF representative, I feel it is important for your congregation to understand and respond to the needs of the seminaries by giving them the opportunity to personally contribute to the fund. 38 of the 87 churches in the Upper Ohio Valley Presbytery have made contributions to the Theological Education Fund in the past. So that's not even half. Unfortunately, some contributions have been sporadic. We can understand that. My goal as your representative is to encourage each of your churches to make a goal to celebrate our Presbyterian heritage each year by contributing to the seminaries that have helped to establish and continue that heritage. In our packet that we received, she has given us a book, and that book is on the back table. That's been back there a week or two. And it's an overview of the 10 plus 2 seminaries and the bulletin inserts in the cards that you have now. Here is her request. Please note that I'm not expecting a great amount of money, although I would not refuse it either. I would be happy with pocket change or a dollar or two. No matter how much your church gives, I am most interested that they make an effort to support the Theological Education Fund so that there will be a church for our children. Our seminaries are preparing new church leaders today to reach future generations tomorrow. So again, we have 38 of our 87 churches in the presbytery. And like she said, it's kind of one of those things, if everybody just puts in their pocket change or if everybody just puts in a dollar, imagine what we could do across the entire country in the Presbyterian Church if we could all support this Theological Education Fund and our ministers that are coming out of these schools for the future. So I place this in your hands. God places it in your hearts. Give it some thought. And next Sunday, or today, whichever, you can return the envelope into the offering plate. Are there any other announcements this day before we begin our worship and praise of God? Any others? Anything going on? Let us prepare our hearts to worship God. People come from east and west, from north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Let us worship our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are invited to rise in body, heart, mind, and soul. Let us join in our call to worship. Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praises to God in the congregation of the faithful. For God takes pleasure in the chosen people and adorns the humble with victory. Let us pray. Grant us today a vision of your reign and an awareness of your presence here now, eternal God. Draw us away from the distortions of the secular world to a clearer understanding of your word of truth alive in us. Send your Holy Spirit, the advocate among us, as you have promised. Knit us together in love so Christ may live in all we do and say. Empower our worship and our ministries with deep faith and abiding hope. Amen. Our opening hymn, For All the Saints, number 526 in the Blue Hymnal. Let us join in our call to confession this All Saints Sunday. In Christ, the selfish distortions of our times are challenged. The self-centered appetites of rampant individualism are called into question. Christ calls us away from our preoccupation with riches, public approval, self-congratulation, and defensiveness. The world's values are reversed as we turn the other cheek and give more than is asked. Let us confess our sins, our turning from Jesus' command to love God, neighbor, and self. Praying together, saying, Eternal God, we confess that we have not aspired to be the best you have called us to be. We have neither set our hope on Christ nor treated others with the love and respect we crave for ourselves. We seek to avoid entering into the depths of another's pain or risk our wealth out of compassion for all your saints. We do not want to embrace those we perceive as enemies or do good to those who hate us, or help those people who are not like us. We are afraid to trust the working of Christ's power among us. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, serving the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and those who would hate us on Jesus' account, that joined with those from ages past who have served you with faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the joyful kingdom you promised in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us enter into a time of silent confession, reflection, and prayer. Amen. Not because we are worthy, but because God's love is greater than our sin. And by the grace of God, manifest through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are forgiven all our sins.
Thanks be to God. We are forgiven and made new.
Amen. Amen.
The first reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. That can be found on page 259 of the Pew Bible if you want to read along. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ, because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought you salvation. You believed in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. I remember you in my prayers and ask God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, to give you the Spirit who will make you wise and reveal God to you so that you will know him. I ask that your minds may be opened to see his light so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you. How rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power to work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right side in the heavenly world. Christ rules there above all heavenly rulers, authorities, powers, and lords. He has the title superior to all titles of authority in the world and in this world and in the next. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church as supreme Lord over all things. The church is Christ's body, the completion of him who himself completes all things everywhere. The responsive reading today is page 693, Psalm 149, and those on my side of the church will be reading the odd number verses, Pastor Susan's side, the even number verses, and the last verse we'll all read together. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing a new song to the Lord. Praise him in the assembly of his faithful people.
Be glad, Israel, because of your Creator. Rejoice, people of Zion, because of your King.
Praise his name with dancing. Play drums and harps in praise of him.
The Lord takes pleasure in his people. He honors the humble with victory.
Let God's people rejoice in their triumph and sing joyfully all night long.
Let them shout aloud as they praise God with their sharp swords in their hands.
To defeat the nations and to punish the peoples.
To bind their kings in chains, their leaders in chains of iron.
To punish the nations as God has commanded.
This is the victory of God's people. Praise the Lord. Our gospel reading this Sunday is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 6, 20 through 31. Jesus proclaims blessings and curses, describes a life of faith. Luke 6, 20 through 31. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you. For that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and most abundant God, you have come to us in your Son and turned our world upside down. Be with us now as we hear your word proclaimed. And may the meditations of my mouth, the words I speak, and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you this day and as we go forth your people. We pray all these things in your holy name. Amen. All Saints' Day. Did you ever kind of just stop and think about it? Where did it come from? How did it begin? What's it all about? Well, for those of you that grew up in the Catholic Church, or you had friends who were Catholic, it seemed like every day they were celebrating some feast or some festival of some saint. And that's kind of true, because every saint has a day that's been given to them. For example, the feast day of Saint Mark the Evangelist is April 25th. Mary, the mother of Jesus, gets August 15th, even though we usually remember her that third Sunday of Advent. But St. James is remembered on November 30th, and then St. Philip and St. James, well, they have to share together the first day of May. Now, there is one day, though, that if you stop and think about it, I think we're all pretty well aware of. It's that day that, well, we all kind of put on green, that St. Patrick's Day, on March 17th. That one us Protestants are fully aware of. But when you stop and think about it, there's so many saints out there that, well, with 365 days in a year, you're pretty much going to run out of days, even with that one additional day in leap year every 4 years. So All Saints' Day came about by a need to recognize all the saints that couldn't fit in that 365-day calendar, unless we just started stacking everybody on all the days. And so in the old church calendar, they selected November 1st. Now, again, like I said, for us Protestants, there are some saints that we may recognize. For example, Paul, Saint Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we may even acknowledge them in church from time to time if their saint day that they would have, if we're looking at our Roman Catholic friends and when they celebrate things, if their day happens to fall on a Sunday, we might choose to use scripture that honors them. But for most part, for us, it's a day that comes around once a year. And it's actually on November 1st, and every now and then November 1st does fall on a Sunday, but when it doesn't, well, us pastors get to decide, do we do something with it, or do we just do our own thing, or continue on with the Revised Common Lectionary? I threw Dick a curveball when he said, the readings are different this morning. And I said, you know why? And he said, nope. And I said, because we're doing All Saints' Day today. And so the readings are actually from November 1st. Well, for centuries, All Saints' Day was considered one of the holiest days of the year, second only to Easter. Easter is the holiest. I mean, because, well, let's face it, without Easter morning, we wouldn't be here. So All Saints' Day was that special. It was a big deal. It was a much bigger deal than Christmas on the old church calendar. But now we recognize it. Whether or not it falls on a Sunday, like I said, kind of up to the pastor or the nudgings of the church, but it is a big deal. So we celebrate it with this day where we sort of smoosh in all of our saints. And we typically think of who? Spouses, family members, or maybe some elderly person when you were a child that really took you by the hand, or a Sunday school teacher who really helped you and really brought you to church and made God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit mean something in your life and be something special to be here. So that's who we tend to think of when we think of All Saints' Day. But it's an interesting day, really, when you come right down to it, because when you think of all the saints, well, there are thousands of them, millions of them, billions of them, because we're all saints. The one hymn that we'll sing that several of you have told me that you like, our closing hymn, the final words, I think, on the last stanza are, may I be one too, or I hope that I can be one too. It's a peppy song. It's an uplifting song. But when we think about the saints of the church, they were not people who were perfect. They were flawed. They didn't always do the right thing or say the right thing. They didn't always have a faith that was unwavering. They sometimes would give in to temptation. My goodness, look at David. They weren't perfect people. Matter of fact, if they had had to have been perfect, well, there wouldn't be any saints at all for no one to really recognize, because saints aren't superheroes. We just, as human beings, couldn't live up to that expectation. But saints are real people. We know that in our heart, and when we study Scripture and the stories, there are people in there that we seek to emulate, even though when you really look closely at their story, they really were fallible just like us. We get the word saint from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy one. A saint is a holy person. They're not of an ironclad perfect character, as I've said, and they're not of unimpeachable moral character either. So how do we get these saints? Paul, a persecutor of Jews, of Christians, a persecutor of Christians. How do we get these saints? A saint's holiness comes from the death and the resurrection of Christ. A saint is weak, they are flawed, they are imperfect, they are a normal person who has been dipped or sprinkled or immersed in that water of baptism. And through the water of their baptism, they were washed clean. And they were baptized into the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. The love and the forgiveness of Christ is what makes us holy. If you're diving into the ocean, you're going to get wet. And if you dive into Christ, you're going to get holy. There's just nothing you can do about it. That's what happens. Saints are sinful people, us, who God makes holy. We can't earn it. We can't achieve it. We can't figure out a way to buy it. There's just not a thing we can do to get holy. That's kind of what brought on the Reformation. You can't put your coins in the plate and earn your salvation. It is a gift of God. So whether you like it or not, you are dripping wet and are soaked in the life and the death and the resurrection and the new life, eternal life of Christ, who died for us and rose for us for forgiveness and love for all eternity. We are righteous. We live in the rightness of God through Christ. So All Saints Day, here we are. We're remembering, though, the saints of the church. They might be the evangelists, or maybe a Sunday school teacher, the apostles, or the martyrs, the ones who died, Joanna, Lydia, Barnabas, those people from the Old Testament, or from the New Testament, that remind us that we can be saints too. We are lifted up this day with them, you and me. And on this day, we remember the miracle of holiness. We don't remember them or even our loved ones for the perfect people that they were, but because they showed us love, they showed us grace, they showed us generosity, they showed us kindness, and they showed us the love of God in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus loves us in a way beyond the love that we love one another with. A forgiveness and love that we don't deserve, can't earn, but has been given to us. But in our scripture today, this reading from Luke, Jesus' words to us, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, as they are given to us in Matthew as well. This is not an easy life to aspire to when you come right down to it. Jesus talks about a life really that seems completely opposite and backwards to the life our culture wants us to lead. Blessed are you who are poor. Woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who weep now, and woe to you who laugh. Love your enemies, do good. Bless those who hurt you and curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. It seems so contrary to the way we are told we need to live our lives. If you watch TV or read the billboards or the ads that come in the mail, we are to be kind, forgiving, generous, good. We're to live in faith and hope, not fear. We are to live into the resurrection and the new life and be transformed people who show compassion and love to all. That is our purpose. It takes courage to live that way because God knows it ain't easy for us. It takes courage to turn the other cheek when someone's just been downright mean to you. It's gutsy sometimes to stand up in a crowd of people and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and God's love, and I believe the Holy Spirit is with us. But that is our calling. That is our calling. To remember that Jesus died for us and rose for us to make us a holy people, a holy nation. And when that little voice in your head starts talking otherwise and telling you about the latest thing you need to make sure you go out and buy, or that, wow, we got to be fearful of these people and look at what those people and these people and those people are trying to do to us, because the media, as I've said many times from this pulpit, is just going to keep you in fear. That is not God's voice talking to you. God's voice, when God talks to you, is the one that is good, and noble and says, do the right thing even when it hurts, even when you may be ridiculed. It says, be generous when you're thinking, I've got $5 to last me for 5 days and somebody needs help. And it says, be loving even to those people we don't think are lovable. We are called to live into God's mercy. We are called to be a holy people and to move forward in that calling. It's not easy. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who weep. This morning, after coming in and setting up this table where we will light candles for those saints in our lives, in our hearts, the ones that have been in our church or in this world, I thought about this scripture and I drove out to Oaklawn Cemetery and I walked over to the paupers' graves and I read each one of those. There are some people that are buried out there. And it's interesting because they're sort of buried behind what is normally like the dirt pile. And they're buried away from the area where it's really nicely manicured and everything. But they're the ones that are actually buried up against the woods where God's nature and creation hasn't been cleaned out yet to make room for the neat and the tidy. But as I went past each one of those grave sites, some without markers, some with. There's a Vietnam veteran out there, died young, well, in his 50s, I think that's young. There's a family, husband and wife. There's a mother and a son. There's one that has a wooden cross on it with artificial flowers, and then there's artificial flowers put in the ground next to that one, and then two more sets of artificial flowers, and I don't know if those are five graves or if it's one person and they put other flowers out. And then there's a little girl, Amber. She was born in 1988 and died in 1988. And then there's a young man who was 16 who died. If you count those additional flowers that are on either side of that wooden cross, there are 12 graves out there. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who are hungry, for they shall know the kingdom of heaven. Let us live into our calling as a holy people. Amen. Join with me. As we recall the blessed ones who have gone before us, let us offer prayers to God who adorns the poor with victory, with the angels and archangels and the spirits of the blessed.
Lord, have mercy.
With Mary, mother of Jesus and bearer of God.
Lord, have mercy.
With prophets, apostles, and martyrs. With all the saints, faithful witnesses to the gospel.
Lord, have
for the leaders of our presbytery, pastors, for this holy gathering, and for the people of God in every place.
Lord,
for all nations, tribes, peoples, and languages.
Lord,
for the sick and the suffering, the hungry and the thirsty, the poor and the meek, and all who are persecuted.
Lord, have mercy.
for the dead and for those who mourn. For our city and those who live in it, and for our families and companions and all those we love.
Lord, have mercy.
For our ancestors and all who have gone before us in faith.
Lord, have mercy.
Lifting our voices with all creation and all the saints, let us offer ourselves and one another to the living God through Christ. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, for the triumph of Christ in the lives of your saints. Receive the prayers we offer this day and help us to run our course with faith that we may swiftly come to your eternal kingdom of joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. During our listening prayer, our silent time, you are invited to come forward and light a candle for you, your calling as a holy one, for your loved ones, for friends, whomever may land on your heart. You are invited to come forward. There is a cup with matches in it. Light your candle. And then place the burnt candle in the other cup. And I would ask that if you would just light one candle so that there is a candle for each person who desires to come forward. Come. I invite you to sing the threefold Amen with me. Amen. 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 Let us now come forward with thanksgiving and praise, glad for the opportunity to give as a sign that Jesus lives in our midst. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Savior was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast which he has prepared. Our communion hymn, how many verses do we have? Three? Hymn number 508 in the blue hymnal. Thank you.
Please be seated. The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. We praise you for saints and martyrs, for the faithful in every age who have followed your Son and witnessed to his resurrection. For every race and tongue, from every people and nation, you have gathered them into your kingdom. You have shown them the path of life and filled them with joy of your presence. How glorious is your heavenly realm where the multitude of your saints rejoices with Christ. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to your glory, O God. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Sent to be our Savior, he took our flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. His words are true. His touch brings healing. To all who follow him, he gives abundant life. When evil sought to destroy him and he lay in the darkness of death, you raised him from the grave. He is our risen Lord forever. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this fruit of the vine from the gifts you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Great is the mystery of our faith. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and fruit of the vine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every time and place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Let us pray for God's rule on earth as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We give you thanks, O Lord, that on the night before he died, he took bread and he blessed it after giving thanks, and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take, eat, this bread is my body. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he poured it and he lifted it up and he said, This is the cup of blessing. It is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. This bread and this cup, the body of Christ, the bread of life, the cup of blessing, Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of sins, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all things are ready. The body of Christ, the bread of life, take and eat. The blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of sins, the cup of the new covenant, take and drink. Please rise for our prayer of thanksgiving. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Give us grace that in everything we may yield ourselves, our wills and our work, as a continual thank offering to you. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go forth into the world in peace, love, and serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good, render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, I Sing a Song to the Saints of God, number 364. Sing a song. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.